Welcome to the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I am Tammy, your fun-loving and often quirky host. I have been a dietitian for close to 20 years where I've helped countless women transform not only their relationship with food, but more importantly, themselves. I believe to my core that as you start peeling back the layers to loving your food and yourself, you end up loving your life like never before. And now is the time, my friend. It is time to break up with diet culture, shift your current stories, rev up your internal wisdom, and recognize that every body, regardless of size, not only deserves dignity and respect, but can be healthy because your habits and how you love on yourself is truly what matters. In this podcast, we have real conversations about struggles, insecurities, and false beliefs with loving ourselves and each other through the lens of curiosity, anti-judgment, intuitive eating, spirituality, journaling, and a heaping dose of laughter, maybe some tears, but always a whole lot of realness. Hey friends, it's Tammy Lance, and this episode is a very special episode. So it's going to be a little bit different, and that is because I'm actually the one being interviewed. What you're going to hear today is an episode that was hosted from Brave Healer Productions with Laura DeFranco, who is just a brilliant, amazing, not only author, but she helps put these powerful books together with authors from all over. And I was able to be a part of a book called Holistic Mental Health, Calm, Clear, and in Control for the Rest of Your Life, which was headed up by another amazing Laura. So special thanks to Laura Mazzotta and her amazing goodness in this world. She is the one who kind of orchestrated this book coming together through Brave Healer Productions. And what you're going to hear on this episode is myself being interviewed, and really it's more just a little chat with three of the other amazing authors that I have the honor and such deepest gratitude for being a part of this book project with. So you're going to hear us chatting a little bit about our chapters and why we love this book project. I really just can't even iterate enough how honored I am to be a part of this book project. This book is going to be just life-changing, literally, for anybody who gets it. So I invite you to listen in to this episode and then either join our live stream book party on Friday, October 7th, or if you're listening to this episode after October 7th, you can head over to Amazon and grab your copy of this amazing book. And just as a little sneak peek, which is not mentioned in this episode, there is actually a summit also happening the first week of November. And in this Holistic Mental Health Summit, you get to hear from all of these authors, and they are providing even more tidbits than what they provided in the book. So look forward to that, because I do go much, much deeper into the exploration of the chapter and just really giving a lot of additional nuggets than what was even given in this book. So sit back, take a listen, and enjoy.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Laura DeFranco, the CEO of Brave Healer Productions, where we have a mission to wake the world up to what's possible. And here today to help me with that mission are some of the most amazing authors of a new book that we have coming out. It's called Holistic Mental Health, Calm, Clear, and in Control for the Rest of Your Life. I have to tell you, I'm in love with our subtitle. Like, what? Really? Really, you know, are you going to make that promise? It's a bold promise. And I have a big thank you to give to Laura Mazzotta. Before I introduce these lovely women to you today, I want to say a big thank you. Laura Mazzotta is our lead author for this book. And I was so excited, Laura, when you said you wanted to do this. It's so needed right now, bringing all of your stellar author experts together to talk about mental health like this is a world-changing topic and a world-changing book. And I thank you so much. We wouldn't be here without you. So who else do I have here today? I have Dr. Bonnie Jewell. She's the owner of Natural Health and Wellness and founder of Quantum Response Technique, where she has a track record of helping Christian women restore their health naturally and in a way that aligns with biblical principles. Darlene Soshin is an expert in self-care and creating daily inner peace practices specifically for caregivers, therapists, and healers, because commitment to yourself as a service provider is not just courageous, it's imperative. Tammy Lance is with me, and she's an intuitive eating counselor and food and body coach, guiding you to love your food, love yourself, and love your life. And Vienna Costanzo D'April is a licensed therapist and Reiki master who incorporates elements of spirituality and holistic healing into her therapy sessions. Oh my gosh. Are you ready for the power that I have in my Zoom room right now, y'all? I mean, I think we can feel it already. Ladies, I'm so excited to have you here today. Let's see. Bonnie, you're going to start the party off. Tell us about your amazing chapter.
Great. Thank you. My chapter is chapter 6. Its title is Tap Out, Tap In, Find and Fix Mental Patterns That Are Making You Sick. So in the chapter, I talk about how I came into creating this particular system of tapping. Many people are familiar with tapping, I think, in your group, probably, maybe. And tapping is a way where you can just tap out things that are not working for you. And I was stuck in a hotel room on the 7th floor because a wave of anxiety hit me. And I don't know if you've ever had that, where you just have out of left field, something happens that interferes with your ability to function. And I had been studying tapping and Psyche, which is another technique for reprogramming your brain in order to have you be more functional and less a victim to those emotions and feelings and thoughts that come up. And so in my story, I share how that came about and what I was faced with and how I got off that 7th floor. The tap out is you tap out what isn't working for you, and then you tap in what is working, what you do want to have happen. So you can tap in something more powerful, a more powerful belief or a more powerful feeling.
So I know tapping well, and for those of you who might, I don't know, just be hearing about tapping for the first time this moment, I would be surprised, but I know you're out there and you're like, what the heck is tapping? Okay. Mm-hmm. Emotional freedom technique is part of the way that we talk about that. And there are lots of different ways to tap. But what I wanted to say about it and ask Bonnie about is I didn't realize how immediately effective this modality was until I tried it. And mm-hmm. what surprised me the most was I had a practitioner helping me for the first time, and there was an exchange going on back and forth with her. And I left the office feeling physically lighter. Mm-hmm. Like there was a physical manifestation of what we were doing in our dialogue and literally tapping points on ourselves. And that's part of it, right, Bonnie? So tell us more about that connection. Like, how does that happen?
Well, what happens is we have an experience and it locks in our body in some way. I use the tapping a lot for healing organs. So if you have heart disease or something with your liver or adrenal fatigue, what I do is I identify what the organ is, and then what we do is we figure out, is there an emotion that's stuck into that organ? And we can actually energetically release by tapping just tapping on your body. You can tap the organ and it will release the trauma or the thought that's in there. And a lot of times people have the feeling that they're not safe, or that it's not safe to be healthy or safe to be well, is what I see. And by just merely tapping, I actually just tap here. I know there's a lot of different ways to do it, but I keep it simple, kind of shortcut everything so that we can just release what's stuck in there. And I agree, it just releases that emotion out. And I've seen people have IBS resolve very quickly, just right after a session, because they're taking all the supplements, eating all the right things. And then you do a little tapping on there, you release the stuck emotion or the stuck feeling or the stuck thought. And then suddenly you can have a bowel movement again, or you can go jogging again.
Awesome. Yeah, it's powerful. Okay, guys, stay tuned for more from Bonnie in a few minutes. Bonnie, thank you so much for being here today. So Darlene, you are next up in this party. Tell us about your amazing chapter.
My chapter is chapter 17, and it's titled End the Cycle of Caretaker Burnout and Taking the Shame Out of Prioritizing Your Own Health. So in 2005, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had my chapter is all about what turned me from like mainstream thinking into understanding more of an alternative holistic approach to health and well-being. And I was actually 3 days after a cancer diagnosis visited by three archangels, just came down, and I never had an experience like that before. And it was just so like this hug, like something I've never experienced before in my life. And they explained that they were going to guide me. I was going to be okay, and that they would guide me into what this experience would be about. And the next day I woke up and was guided to go to the bookstore and learned all about Reiki, hands-on healing. And that turned into a career, a new business. And the focus is helping people to really take care of themselves, because especially women, moms, healers, therapists, caretakers, we are conditioned to believe that we have to take care of everybody else first. And even the idea, somebody knowing you put your oxygen mask on first, the majority of the clients that have come to me, they understand that, but the conditioning is so much deeper. So the work that I share with people, different practices, mainly Reiki, Japanese Reiki training, because what is so important is a daily practice so that you keep in touch with yourself. You're connected to what your body needs and what your emotions and your energy are telling you. And when you do this every single day, you're on top of it. You're prioritizing your health. And when you make it a daily practice, there's less shame or guilt about it, because it's already a part of your habitual routine. So you don't stop yourself in doubt or question, should I do that first or take care of him over here? You are already taking care of yourself if it's a daily practice. So Reiki training is one of the works that I do with clients, and another is intuitive assessment to figure out what works best for somebody, because it might not be the Reiki training, and there are many other modalities in my tool belt and other ideas that people resonate with. And I tap into that, and I help people design their own daily practice so that they do become their own and their first priority in their life.
So important. There's so many things you said that I wanted to riff off of there, but I wanted to kind of pull it back to Reiki in general, because so you are all teaching such powerful strategies and tools in the book. One of the missions of our books is to have the reader has a toolkit in their hands, and they're going to be learning from you all. And Reiki is one of those things where, so as a holistic physical therapist, I had Reiki training early on in my practice, and essentially anytime my hands were anywhere near anyone, there was the intention of the flow of energy wherever the person needed it. But the biggest thing for me, because, you know, we always want to give as healthcare mm-hmm. providers, as Darlene is talking about, the biggest thing for me was, could I receive? And understanding that the flow was two directions, and I noticed myself not being open to the two-way channel until I was, and that was a game changer. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Darlene?
That's an enormous awareness. Beautiful for you. So the Japanese Reiki, the lineage that I teach, it's more about focusing on yourself and finding out, unveiling what's true for you, so that you're not choosing. So it's very apparent when you're choosing something not for you. And part of the five Reiki precepts, the fifth one is compassion for yourself and others. But the Japanese Reiki training focuses on self-compassion. And part of studying that and being that and tapping into that every day, you start to understand that receiving is a necessary and very beautiful gift that we are given with these physical bodies and our energetic essence that we are. Receiving is part of the connection to anybody or anything in our life. So as you study self-compassion and you bring that into your life every day, you open up, your heart opens up to giving and receiving. There is no giving and receiving. It's connection. It's oneness. And that's really the story. It's oneness.
Yeah.
So there doesn't even have to be this idea of receive, you know, the practitioner gives and the client receives. When you understand the flow of Reiki energy, life force energy, there is just connection.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Darlene. All right, you guys, more from Darlene in a minute or two. Okay, let's see. Tammy, you are up next. Tell us about your amazing chapter.
Yeah, thanks so much, Laura, for having us here. I'm super excited. So my chapter is chapter 10, and the main title is Love Your Food, Love Yourself. And that's basically kind of the tagline for my entire business. But to tell you a little bit more about my chapter is it ended up almost being kind of a heart and brain dump initially. It was just going back through almost my entire life. I wrote just this big, huge, long chapter. And then I went back through it and decided, what is it that I'm, you know, really trying to, you know, get through here? And so I find that there's a lot of layers in my chapter, and it goes through a lot around the chains of diet culture, you know, growing up as female and all of these kind of pressures, you know, that we're supposed to be in this standard body. And excuse me, the thinking that food is the way to do it. Eat the right foods, figure food out, use food. And I use that intentionally, use food. And fix it, you know. And I became a dietitian thinking that I could figure it all out, and I would figure out the perfect things that everybody could eat in order to have this perfect body and perfect health. And, you know, I had kind of all of these really deep misinterpretations. And really what I've discovered through my life and process is that, you know, we each hold our own unique internal wisdom about how to guide our nourishment, and that we each have individual bodies. There's not one standard ideal. And through my chapter, I really started realizing how many interpretations I had grown up with. And that's a big focus of my chapter, is just that I went through so much of my life blaming others and blaming food and blaming society and all of these things. But I fully recognized that it was my interpretations. And, you know, through my interpretations, I was hiding and I had embarrassment. And I really had food as kind of my anchor, and I had it as my safety. And then I started to utilize food to calm my nervous system and to kind of check out of the world, you know. And then I was able to, you know, really connect to more love and not needing to strive to be better, and to just really come into acceptance and awareness. And a big piece for me doing this was journaling. And just sometimes when I was journaling in my past, and it still happens to this day, but I would be journaling and I'd be writing something, and all of a sudden something would come through, and I thought, my goodness, where did this come from? And it was just this internal wisdom and guidance. And really for me, journaling is what allowed me to open up and see a lot of these patterns that I was living with, and really allowed me to just release all of the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment and all of the things that were kind of holding me back from really loving my life and just being me.
Well, you know, I'm a journaling fan, or maybe you guys don't know that I'm a journaling fan, but maybe you could guess from my writing endeavors. And I love that you talked about channeling your writing, because that's what you were talking about. And I love to say that now, because if you had said that to me back when, I would have been like, oh no, I can't do that, mm-hmm. you know? And until it happened, and I thought, oh, this is about connecting to yourself. And it's essentially what you're talking about, Tammy, with everything through your chapter, with the food and the mental, the mindset, the journaling, everything is like, when you connect at that deeper level, you're going to have the wisdom move through. That is the message of the next best step for you, mind, body, soul, right? And journaling is such a powerful thing for that. All right, you guys. So let's hear from Vienna next. What's your amazing chapter all about Vienna?
Thank you, Laura. Hi, everyone. So my chapter is called From Self-Loathing to Self-Adoring, How to Love Yourself on the Deepest Level. And it is chapter 12 of this amazing book. And I share my story of being raised in the church, and similar to what Tammy said, you know, like my own perception of what was going on, was basically I, number one, never knew that I should love myself. Or if I thought to love myself, I thought that that was me being greedy, you know, and selfish. And, so I always, similarly to these other stories, put everybody else first. But not only that, was constantly seeking external validation, you know, and I share my story of going through some depression and anxiety and being at a very, very low point in my life. And then I became a therapist. And as I began to learn more about myself and my clients, I realized that learning to love ourselves is so foundational for healing. And so for a lot of my clients, that's where I tend to start first, is learning to love ourselves and then going from there, you know. But of course, it's hard to come from, you know, somebody that hates themselves or dislikes themselves so strongly to all of a sudden be in love with yourself. That's nearly impossible. So I realized from working with my clients that we have to work ourselves up. You know, we have to work towards self-acceptance first, and, you know, and first eliminating this negative self-talk and taking steps in order to get to self-love. And so I did that myself and realized, you know, through observing my own self, that I could go even deeper. So that's kind of where I go with this chapter. I formulated this self-love scale with 7 stages, all the way from self-loathing, working your way up to self-adoring. And at each stage, I give a tool to help yourself kind of like move up to the next stage. So yeah, that's my chapter.
I love it. You're making me think of just, you know, when you're having a bad day, and people say, oh, just be happy. And you cannot jump from where you are to happy. It just is, it's too far of a jump. And that's kind of how you're talking about this too. And I always think of it as, well, what if we could just bring the teeter-totter to neutral?
Right.
What if we just take a few breaths and clear our mind and come into a neutral space, right? That would be higher vibration than that low, yep, low place. And I love that advice of taking the steps. And I also absolutely love even just the term self-adoring, because isn't that what the feeling, it's the feeling every, I don't know, it's hard to say it out loud, but it's the feeling that we want to have. So it's time to give it to yourself, right? What else do you want to talk about there?
I agree, because, yeah, it's not just it's just, it's not just, yeah, I love myself. You know, like, you know, it's like, I wanted to get to a point where I can look at myself in the mirror and feel, like, really feel that warm and fuzzy feeling towards myself and, like, just, like, hug myself and just be able to say, I effing love you so much. Like, just like I do with my dog, you know, that's kind of what inspired me. Was one morning I just took my dog's little face and I'm like, you are just so adorable. I love you so much. And I, like, I got that thought, like, wow, imagine if I could do that with myself. And I knew in that moment that I certainly was not ready to go there. So that's where I knew there was more room for growth in that area.
I love that you brought up the dog. yes, I, you know, haven't we all done that to our pet? Like, oh, you know, and that feeling, right. There's that feeling. It's about that feeling, which is the energy. And if we are doing that, then we are that. And then that's what we get to radiate out to the world as well. So I wanted to say just a quick thank you to all of you, honestly, for not just for saying yes to this project, but for stepping up in the way that I challenged you to offer that vulnerable story, but also the master teachings you are dropping in this book. These are world-changing nuggets, and I want you all to know how grateful I am to you for really taking on the challenge of getting this done, right? You're master teachers. You teach all day long, but it's quite another thing to put it in black and white, publish it in words in the book, and let it go out into the world, right? And so you're all warriors in my book for doing that, and especially for stepping up as mental health professionals in a time where the world needs to have a different conversation about what this is. They need to understand all the possibilities. And you all are doing that, which is just badass in my book. So speaking of mental health and specifically how we put the word holistic in front of that, Darlene, I'm going to start with you for this next one. Why is it important to use a holistic approach when it comes to mental health?
That's a great question. And why I always say, including Reiki or some other form of energy work, is because that is one of the last areas that somebody might think of to include. So I never say just use energy work. I say include it, because it gets to a deeper level than simply talking would do, or, you know, prescriptions that would help, you know, stabilize chemicals in the body. Energy work takes the person and whoever it is that they're working with, you go to a deeper level that's not visible, and it isn't even always necessarily on the surface. Energy work calms the body, it relaxes the body, so you can go to a place where you can't with other, you know, more mainstream type of modalities. And it's a beautiful addition to anything. It's harmless, and it's life force energy. It's tapping into what's there in our hearts. And I can't imagine anything more beautiful than that.
Yes, thank you for kicking off that question so beautifully. There's so many different ways to understand this, and that is why I wanted all the voices in these books. Tammy, what do you want to add to that? So why holistic when it comes to mental health?
Yeah, I really, really love this question. And that's because I have a saying with the clients that I work with, is that how you practice food or how you do food is how you do life. And I say this because oftentimes it's very correlated that, you know, food can really be our teacher towards understanding how we're experiencing life in a lot of other fashions. And so just to give kind of a tangible example there, oftentimes if someone says, I feel really out of control with food, my question may be, where else in your life do you feel out of control? You know, so to me, food is kind of a mirror to so many other things. Food can be the mirror to how do I feel about myself? How do I feel about my life? How do I feel about my relationships? It just kind of, it spreads throughout our entire life, in my opinion. So I like more of the holistic approach and looking at all of it, because how you impact one part of your life, you're going to impact another part of your life.
I think that's so true for almost everything, but that could be an eye opener for some people if they just pause with that for a minute. And I wonder how everybody is feeling over these couple of years with the extra challenges we've had with COVID and food. Oh my gosh, people are going to write whole books about this subject later, right? You know, it's happening. But that's been a challenge for me, I know personally. And even just from a standpoint of, ordering in, not wanting to go out to the grocery store, oh my gosh, we could talk about this for all day, right? Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
Definitely.
So I want you guys to, pause with some of these nuggets. Are you recognizing yourself? And that's good, even though it's a little scary sometimes. It's like, okay, is that me? Is she talking about me? Is she calling me out? She's totally calling me out, right? Okay, so that's an opportunity though. A big one. Okay, Vienna, what do you want to add to this one? Why holistic?
Yeah, similarly to what I was saying before, regarding self-love, it's one thing to treat the symptoms, which can be helpful. Like, it's one thing to work to cognitively change your patterns, for example, like negative self-talk, that can have an effect on someone in a positive way. But holistic healing in this aspect is really embodying the practice and becoming it and unlearning all these things that are deep within us and not just treating the surface level symptoms.
Yes, definitely. All of these things. You guys are so brilliant with this question. All right, Bonnie, what do you want to add to this? It's hard to go last on this question, I know, but...
Oh, wow. Yeah, what everybody said is just so beautiful and reinforces how grateful I am to be part of this team and the group of just amazing healers here. And what Tammy said about like how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? And so it's a great, no matter which modality you choose or what you're drawn to, it's really about getting back to love and exemplifying that. And I think one, just going back to how a lot of women want to take care of other people before themselves. And I was listening to one of my patients say recently, I don't know why my daughter is not taking care of herself. I keep telling her to take care of herself. And I said, well, what are you showing her in how to take care of herself? And she wasn't. She was busy taking care of everybody else. So her daughter was mirroring that. And so I think when we look at self-love, caring for ourselves, getting Reiki, getting counseling, getting coaching, whatever, working on your food, know that people that you love, especially your children, especially your community, they're watching you and they're noting what you're doing. And so when you take care of yourself and you love yourself so much, like, who was it? Was that Vienna who said that? When you look at if you love yourself, like you look at your dog or your cat, like, I love you so much. Bringing that back to yourself, if you model that for your children and the people that you love, they'll do that. So loving yourself, that's loving your family and loving your children.
I love that. And it's important to understand what you're modeling for your children and everyone else. Okay. So these gifts of awareness that you are all giving today are amazing. And everything is about awareness for me. This book is full of those gifts. For me, I say it with feeling is healing, and feeling is an awareness practice. So helping people to feel is part of this for me in all the ways, noticing our thoughts, feeling sensations in our body, understanding our intuition. I mean, all the ways. So Tammy, I'm going to ask you on this one first, what's your personal practice of awareness look like in your day to day? Give us one example today of that.
Ooh, okay. One example of self-awareness. For me, it's just a checking in. It's a simple checking in, taking just that micro moment to check in and say, how am I doing? What is it that I need right now? Kind of coming into the present, because I find that we can spend so much time either worrying about the future or angsting over the past, and we really get nowhere forward. And so it's just really coming to that present moment. What is it that I need right now in this moment? Where am I at? So just kind of a micro check-in. And this becomes a habit. You know, there's kind of some elements of needing to work up towards making it a habit, but just creating that habit of just checking in. What do I need right now in this moment?
A really good habit that becomes a practice, that becomes a discipline, that becomes you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, for all of the nuggets our listeners are hearing today, that's the path. And so you have to understand that all of those micro moments are so important. So that was perfect, Tammy. Thank you. Vienna, how about you? Can you give us a little window into your day in terms of one of the ways you connect and practice like this?
Definitely similar to Tammy. Just making sure I take a deep breath, you know, especially after interacting with people, with other people, you know, I tend to come back to myself after just to see, you know, how am I feeling? Am I feeling anxious? Was I people pleasing in that moment, for example, you know, and just reflecting a little bit on what I said and how that made me feel and things like that. So yeah, especially when I get that, it's almost like when I walk into a new room, you know, it's like that transition. I remember to take a deep breath and just check in with myself.
I love that one. And it's been up for me more recently to create a habit of clearing my energy after I'm with mm-hmm. people. And I didn't ever do that up until a little bit more recently. And now realize that it's this easy, beautiful tool to just prioritize making sure that your energy is where you want it when you've interacted with others' energies, and yours can shift and move all over the place. And we know how that can be sometimes, especially if you're in a crowd, which is making me want to talk about it because I just got back from a conference. So it's like every day, right? And being around people, different kinds of people, different kinds of energy. So I love having these conversations because we are going to wake someone else up to the fact that they have an opportunity to clear, to prioritize, to make it what they need it for them in the moment. Bonnie, how about you on this one? What's one of your practices?
I love this question. And I think we have a theme, excuse me, for checking in with yourself. So I love to meditate, and that's how I connect with God and the divine. And so, you know, there's the channel that goes right up to the divine. So when I'm checking in with myself, I take a moment and I just imagine and feel that life force coming down into myself. I have learned that the heart field goes 3 feet out on either direction. And so sometimes, especially if I get in contact with somebody who's irritating to me, if you've ever done that, where you get around somebody and you're like, ugh. So I started doing a practice where I engage my heart center and I push into their field rather than having them push into mine. So that's just the check-in that I do. And then also just the practice of pushing my heart field out into other people and smear that love all over the place.
You made me have to chuckle, like, you know, when somebody like kind of feels annoying and I'm like, yeah, I felt that before. It's like everyone has felt that before, but that's your opportunity to just pause, like, ooh, what is that thing I'm feeling? Right. And then take responsibility for shifting it because you can. Darlene, how about you? Tell us about one of your practices.
Exactly all of this. So realizing, acknowledging we are energy beings beyond the physical body, we are going to pick up on everybody else's energies, emotions, even their thinking, their belief systems. So because of that, I not just clear my energy, but I ask every morning and I go to bed every night, asking that all energies that don't belong to me, I do it in the shower, go down the drain or go down into the earth. And I get rid of everybody else's energies that way without having to know where it came from. It just happens naturally. So I get rid of others' energies. And I also ask that those energies that no longer serve me, that include thought patterns and belief systems, also go down the drain or into the earth. And that way I start every day and end every day with a clear energy field.
I love that. I loved coming to the visual that the earth or the sky, the universe, the heavens above, either or, has the power to alchemize whatever I let go of. Like, cause you don't want to feel like you're dropping all your shit into the earth, right? Like you do, but there's such power in the energy there. You can imagine it just transmuting everything, right? And turning it into good stuff like compost.
Right. And that's what nature does. Nature knows how to neutralize and transfer and alchemize whatever she's given. Mother Gaia is an alive living being and knows how to balance the energies.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Love that visual. All right. Amazing women. I have one more question for all of you, and it really has to do more with our listeners today. You know, this has been a tough couple of years, and people had their stuff before the couple of years started. And so it's been extremely challenging to manage this level of anxiety, I believe. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about gifting this book to the world. But for our listeners, Vienna, I'm going to start with you. What's that one thing you want them to know about stepping onto this healing journey?
That the universe wants you, the universe, God, whatever you use, wants you to love yourself so that your gifts can shine through with, you know, confidently, because you have these gifts for a reason, to contribute to the highest good.
I love that. There is a larger force that wants you to love yourself, needs you to love yourself first. We've talked a lot about that today. I'm glad. The priority of that, that's the world-changing thing, y'all, right? It's that we start here and then we be that and radiate that out to everyone. I love that, Vienna. Thank you. Bonnie, how about you? What's that one thing you want everyone to know today about being on this journey?
That small steps make a big difference. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to start. And one of the most amazing things I ever heard was that effort is rewarded. So even though I'm so imperfect and I don't do it well and I have monkey mind in my meditations and I don't really feel like I'm loving anyone, but I'm trying, the universe, the God, you'll get rewarded and you will start seeing evidence of that change in your life. So small baby steps make a big difference.
I love that one too. It's so important to remember that when it feels overwhelming, one little step. So perfect. Darlene, how about you?
That inner peace. So if we are connecting to our own hearts and choosing for ourselves and choosing for what will help us get to that inner peace, that's the answer to everything. It's inside of us. And we have peace in ourselves when we practice that daily. Everything and anything outside of us is a little easier to respond to.
Yeah, I can feel that, right? People can breathe that into themselves with one deep breath. That's all it takes. Doesn't have to be more complicated than that. Yeah. I love that. Tammy, tell us yours. What's the one thing you want people to know?
I would like to invite our listeners to really come into gratitude for food being able to be there for them, especially over the last few years. And I know there can be a lot of guilt and shame and, oh, I've eaten too much, or I've used food too much, or there's a lot of stories that can come up around that. And so I invite everyone to just really lean into gratitude, because isn't it amazing that we had something available to us in these moments, and we can continue to have it, and just food can be kind. And just, if we give it gratitude, there's not room for guilt.
All right. There could be no better way to close out this show than the high vibe energy of gratitude, for sure. Tammy, thank you for that. For all of you authors, thank you so much for what you do in the world. And thank you for being here today to share it with everyone. You are all amazing human beings. And listeners, I know something that you heard today might have resonated. You got the goosebumps. You're curious, right? So scroll down to the show notes, because I have all of these authors hooked up with their websites. Take a little adventure and click on the site and see all of the amazingness that they are up to in the world. It's a lot. And they are very generously there for you to support, to answer the question, to take you on that next little step on your journey, right? So do that. Go on down. I have a few links down there for you. We are inviting you to our live stream book launch party as well. That's going to be October 7th and 22, 10 a.m. Eastern. We're going to gather with all of the holistic mental health authors, and we're going to drop our wisdom and inspiration for you. It's going to be on the Brave Healer Productions Facebook page. And if you're listening to this after that date, well, then that means you can hop over to Amazon and grab your copy of the book, because it'll be ready by then. And lastly today, everyone, remember, your words change the world when you're brave enough to share them. So it's time to be brave. See you next time, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening in and being a part of the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have. And I would love nothing more than to connect with you in other ways as well. So click the link in the description to visit youressentialdietitian.com/services and discover how we may do that. Again, thank you for being here. Much love.